Welcome to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three of the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. A busy Sunday ahead as we've got a little USA men's national team in action, Gold Cup quarterfinal later on this evening in Minneapolis as USA takes on Costa Rica. If they were to win, they would likely take on Canada. Canada and Guatemala will play earlier in that one. We did see an upset in the Gold Cup yesterday as Honduras did advance on to take on Mexico. So Mexico right now, your betting favorite to win the Gold Cup. The championship will take place next weekend. Semifinals will be later on this week. I believe on Tuesday is when you will get those semifinals. So hopefully the United States takes care of business tonight as around a minus 180 favorite or so. Total sits at 2.5, juiced under for USA and Costa Rica. Got a bunch of baseball, as we always do, on Sundays. A couple notable things here from the baseball standpoint, just to keep an eye on as we have continued to discuss the New York Yankees and this under trend. Longest trend we've seen from over or under standpoint in at least 9 years, that according to Evan Abrams over at the Action Network. So the Yankees and A's today, total sits at 10.5. Do we see it again? Ladies and gentlemen, do we go under for a 17th straight game? We were at 16 in a row yesterday. The A's blanked the Yankees, the biggest dog on the board. The A's came home and beat the Yankees. I'd actually be curious to ask Thomas Gable about that. He's going to join us coming up in less than 15 minutes. How many parlays were blown up by the Yankees losing to the A's, especially where Thomas is located there in Atlantic City? So we will get the latest from behind the counter, a recap of UFC 317. Chalk did prevail in the main and co-main last night. So curious ultimately how the books fared last night with UFC 317 here in Las Vegas. But I imagine, I had to guess, the Yankees losing is certainly a positive thing from the book standpoint yesterday, especially being such a significant favorite. But just a reminder, you've got the Yankees and this undertrend. How about the Miami Marlins? I saw our guy David Behrman out there, and you know David loves him some Florida sports, and he's reminding us that the Marlins, they're hot. They've won 6 in a row. They've won 8 straight road games. So the Miami Marlins actually playing some good baseball right now, and we'll see if that continues today. They are a plus 170 underdog against the Arizona Diamondbacks, but the Marlins have been playing some good baseball, much to my chagrin, as they are no longer in last place in the NL East. That would be my Nationals. My Nats are very much so in last place. You know, it's never ideal to lose 11 straight baseball games, and they did that. And last night they fell apart against the Angels, but no one cares about the Nationals right now because they're irrelevant. But they did win in 2019. That's all I keep reminding myself about 2019. We're going to talk to Todd Furman a little bit later on. We'll get some NFL and some college football thoughts with Todd Furman as well. So yesterday we had Brad Powers on the show. And, you know, one of the things as you continue your prep for college football, and I was just talking to Zach Cohen about it off the air, and he's going to make that pilgrimage over to Barnes & Noble later today to grab a couple of the preseason magazines. I've got them all ready to go, thumbing through all of them. And we've been, you know, talking out different best bets and situations there on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. But I want to discuss something here. I've discussed it a bunch on the pod. But this year, when you look at college football, as we are, you know, getting closer, less than 2 months away from the start of the college football season, and you know, you're going to start seeing media days popping up there. I think the Big 12, their first media day they are the first media day, and it'll be less than 2 weeks. We're going to have the Mountain West media day here at Circa. Big 10's coming to Vegas as well. But when I look at this year in college football, and I know, forgive me if you've heard me say this before, but the quarterbacks amongst the top teams in the country, there are some questions. So I think you can look at it one way or the other. You can look at it in this regard. If a team like Ohio State or a team like Oregon or a team like Notre Dame hits at the quarterback position with a highly touted prospect, what's the ceiling of that team? And that's something that Brad Powers alluded to yesterday with Notre Dame. And both Brad and I are Notre Dame fans, but I would say this, we are, for the most part, pretty realistic, even borderline more pessimistic on them, the Irish, that is. And we'll know right away what Notre Dame is. Week one, Miami, 3-point favorite on the road down there at Miami. And then a bye week, Texas A&M. We had Stanford Steve on the show last week. Excuse me, Neil, wet the whistle a little bit here on a Sunday morning. We had Stanford Steve on the show last week, and I thought his answer to what quarterback he's most intrigued by this year was one that I hadn't really heard, which is Marcel Reed at Texas A&M. You know, a guy, remember, it was Connor Wegman who started last year against Notre Dame in the season opener, and they kind of ebbed and flowed, right? Wegman got hurt, Reed came in, he played well, and at the end of the day, they decided to go with Marcel Reed. Connor Wegman now is with the Houston Cougars. But back to my initial thought, which is if Georgia, Bama, Notre Dame, Texas, Oregon, Ohio State, if they hit at the quarterback position, you would certainly think the ceiling is national championship. Notre Dame has got pretty solid depth, but obviously a question mark at the quarterback position. But on the flip side, utilizing those six teams who are all favored to make the playoff, could you look at a miss the playoff situation at Ohio State, at Oregon, at Notre Dame? Because we don't know about the quarterback. And then you go a little bit further down the board as you look at an LSU. Year number four for Brian Kelly. The pressure is on. They've got big-time playmakers at wide receiver. They've got a quarterback in Garrett Nussmeier. They are expecting to make a big step in the right direction. He's a guy that is, according to some, believed to be a top five pick in the NFL draft. And then you've got that week one showdown that the Bear, we just played the clip of Chris Felica, that he's interested in. Week number one, we've seen a little bit of money come in on Clemson. It was 2.5, now it's out to 3. So sitting a flat 3 right now is Clemson and LSU. So LSU sitting at plus 125 to make the college football playoff. I think the question that many are going to ask this year is, who's the Indiana? Who's the team that we're not talking about that can make the playoff? Look, I'll just say this. There's not going to be an Indiana. Indiana this year is 5-1. Some people are going to say, well, Illinois could be this year's Indiana. Illinois won 10 games a year ago. They're 5-1. So one thing that I think is pretty interesting when you look at to make or miss the college football playoff odds right now at DraftKings is that I think the books have learned their lesson. At least DK has. You're really not going to get that juicy, the 100-1, the 200-1. I had a couple people tweet me 200-1 tickets a year ago. I had someone tweet me saying after they heard Kirk Cignetti talk at Media Day, where he was being Kirk Cignetti, he threw in a little bet on 200-1 to make the college football playoff. I wish I did. That would have been beautiful. But we're not going to get that. There are, as I look at the board right now, there are only three Power Four teams that have odds north of 100-1. Purdue, Stanford, both whose win total is sitting at 3, and Wake Forest. Indiana, a year ago, while it was a stunner to see them make the playoff, still win total was 5.5, so it wasn't that crazy. But looking a little bit further up the board, that's where I think it's going to be interesting. What teams can you make the case to make the college football playoff this year? Because you think about Arizona State, and we discussed this yesterday, when the Big 12 decided, yeah, we're going to do away with preseason polls because the 16th team out of 16 teams as voted on by the media a year ago won the conference, and the teams that were voted 1, 3, 4, and 5 did not make a bowl game. And number 3 in Oklahoma State went winless in conference play. But you look at what it could be this year and what are some teams that could potentially make the college football playoff. I think you can look down the board, and obviously we're going to look back in November and say, oh, there it was. Obviously we could have hit on that. What is also worth noting, and the Bear pointed this out on the pod as well, which is what we know now. If you're an SEC team, you have that mulligan. You can't have mulligans. You can't be Ole Miss losing multiple games you're not supposed to, losing to Kentucky and Florida. You can't be Oklahoma losing to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. But you're allowed that mulligan. And if you're an Ohio State, if you're a Penn State, for example, you have a game against Ohio State November 1st, and you have a game on September 27th against Oregon at home, and you're a favorite in that game. At 10-2, even if they lost both of those games, are they in? I think they probably are. Are they hosting a playoff game? No. But does that matter? So I do think, because there are some parlayable opportunities out there, it could be something to look at. But I'll say this, last thing to sum it up here, to my initial point of, if the quarterback hits, what's the ceiling? To me, it's Alabama. Alabama around 15-16-1. I know Nick Saban's not there. We were told that by the Florida State quarterback earlier this week. But if you look at that roster and the talent that is infused on that roster down in Tuscaloosa, if Ty Simpson proves to be the guy, with Ryan Grubb now as his OC and the right-hand man again of Kalen DeBoer, roll damn tide down there in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
It is the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. And before we get to our next guest, just a reminder, folks, there's a new sports betting market in town. It's called Xcuta, spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. Xcuta is a sports Calcutta, combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own Xcuta auctions for you and your crew for any sport or sporting event. There's free practice auctions running daily from 3, 6, and 9 p.m. at xcuta.com. And for a three-month free bidding subscription, email support@xcuta.com and mention VSiN. xcuta.com, the future of future wagering. Before we get to Thomas Gable, just a quick note here. We do have some breaking news from Shams Charania. The U.S. District Attorney's Office is investigating Pistons guard Malik Beasley on allegations of gambling related to NBA games and prop bets, sources told ESPN. Serious development surrounding one of the top NBA free agents, that according to Shams Charania. All right, let's get to it. Let's find out how the books fared last night. Let's get a little behind the counter.
Where are the lines changing? And where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
He's the race and sportsbook director at the Borgata in Atlantic City. He is Thomas Gable, who joins us almost every Sunday here on the program, and always appreciate it. Thomas, I'm throwing this to you on the fly, so I know this is just breaking news, but when things start to pop up like this, what does it mean to you as a sportsbook operator when you hear, you know, things like this regarding Malik Beasley?
Well, I guess there's a couple ways you can look at things like this. I know, unfortunately, these things have seemed to become a lot more commonplace in the last couple of years, where you're getting reports, whether it's, you know, NBA players or college players and gambling. And I always go back to before legalization, well, I should say before PASPA was repealed. Mm-hmm. There's still obviously legal books in Las Vegas. These stories maybe weren't as common, and maybe gambling, sports gambling, wasn't as common, but there were still things that took place. There's just a lot more eyes on things now, and as there should be. And, you know, I think, you know, we would be very foolish to say things weren't happening in the past when PASPA was still in effect. But, you know, if you were aware of something going on and maybe you were just betting offshore or with an illegal bookmaker or whatever the case is, there's no recourse. If a legal bookmaker finds out about that, there's what are they going to do with that information? They're just not, you know, there's nothing they can do. So the fact that this is all now kind of brought into the light and there are eyes on this, obviously all of the sports books, you know, we deal with integrity agencies. We are dealing with the leagues themselves and also obviously the NCAA. So there's just a lot of eyes on everything now, and things will be investigated. If something looks suspicious, things get investigated. Now, in terms of this Beasley information, again, it's a little surprising when you see professionals involved in something. Again, there's not a lot out there right now on this matter from the looks of it. But Beasley, you know, this guy was going to be signing probably a contract in the $40 million range, you figure, here in free agency. I think that's where him and the Pistons were in talks to do a three-year $42 million contract. So, you know, it's not necessarily about money. You know, some of these guys maybe just are betting, but again, can't make any statements here specifically on Beasley because obviously it's just fresh information and not too much is out there right now on this.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the breaking news right now, courtesy of Shams Charania, investigation surrounding Malik Beasley. And right now, Thomas Gable joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. You know, Thomas, I always bring up New York teams, Philly teams to you because of where you're located in the proximity to New York City and to Philly and knowing the fan bases that your clientele mostly cheers for. I'm curious, have your customers been hammering the under on these Yankee games? Because I know the public tends to bet overs, but this Yankee run of unders has been wild. 16 straight unders. Have you seen an uptick in under betting during the midst of this run to the under?
We actually have. The people have been betting the under on these Yankees game. They caught on to it after a few games, so they've been riding that. And you know, yesterday obviously it was. We saw some respected money come in on the A's yesterday. We got paid, but obviously the vast majority of the public money here was on New York. So good result there with the Yankees going down, even though the unders got paid again. Now, obviously, a high total here today. You're looking around 10.5 in this A's-Yankees game. But again, we've had some money come in here on Oakland again today, looking to fade the Yankees again. But there's the AL East all of a sudden is looking pretty interesting, and the thing, it's not going to be a runaway for New York as it maybe looked like a little bit ago. But there's a lot of teams now who are certainly playing a lot better. Tampa obviously has been a great story, and I don't think Tampa is going to go anywhere here. They're not going to go away, I should say. They're going to continue to put the pressure on New York and obviously Boston as well. So we'll see how this goes. For the Yankees have kind of been in this little bit of a swoon, but we'll see if they can turn around today.
You know, yesterday, Thomas, we had Chuck Esposito on, who is the race and sportsbook director for the Red Rock Casino here in Vegas. And with UFC 317 here in town, I was curious his projection, his guess on what they would ultimately need for the main and the co-main last night of UFC 317, because you had hefty favorites, which people don't like to lay the chalk, but once you put those together in a little parlay, if you did a Pantoja to Topuria to Jake Paul parlay, I think it was some plus money to be had out there. So with the two heavy favorites winning last night at UFC 317, was it a good result or a bad result for you guys behind the counter?
Well, it wasn't just the two in the co-main event. I mean, the favorites came in at a pretty good clip throughout the entire card. So, and yeah, I mean, obviously the public, when it comes to UFC, typically leans towards betting favorites. Now, I will say overall for the handle we took last night, I'd have to really go back and look at previous ones. This was, if not the highest handled UFC card we ever had, it was definitely within the top two.
Wow.
We took some major bets on this, probably highlighted by the big one, Topuria. We were at -425 on him. Somebody actually did lay $425,000 to win $100,000 on him last night. So they picked
that
up
was an easy win.
Yes, they did. They picked up a quick $100,000 on that. So good for that better. And but yeah, I mean overall for the card, you know, we did. You saw some money come in on the dogs. You actually saw some movement in the market as well on the dogs. But we overall for the card, we lost a bit. But yeah, I mean, overall, the handle was just off the charts last night. And again, it was driven by quite a few bigger bets. I can't tell you, it's probably, you know, close to 10 six-figure bets we took on that card overall. So, it was a lot.
Why do you think that was? Just because of where it landed on the sports calendar? Obviously, you know, UFC pay-per-views are going to get a lot of attention, but I'm curious why you ultimately think, Thomas, there was such a big uptick in handle for you guys.
You know, I think, one, the calendar certainly helped. You know, when you looked at what was going on, you basically had two Major League Baseball games going on when the card started, and you know, only one late game with the Angels last night. So there wasn't a lot to bet on. And, you know, just the fact a lot of these bets were coming in from as well, casino players as well, who are in for the weekend. I think it just helped it, you know, there was some higher end action. But in terms of the actual amount of wagers coming in, that was also very strong as well. So I really just think it was helped by the calendar and the lack of overall sporting events that was in competition. But as you said, pay-per-views, you're always going to write a lot more on pay-per-views than you will just, you know, on a regular fight night.
He's Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director at the Borgata there in Atlantic City. Thomas, always appreciate the insight, sir.
All right. Have a good one, Tim.
There he is, Thomas Gable from the Borgata. And, put him on the spot a little bit. So, you know, as this is a developing situation, we'll see what ultimately comes of it. But interesting note worth passing across, that Pistons guard Malik Beasley currently being investigated by the U.S. District Attorney's Office on allegations of gambling. I believe this would be, what, the third? We had Porter, Rozier, and now Malik Beasley, I believe, under investigation. All right, let's talk to Todd Furman, good friend of the show, Bet the Board podcast. We'll get some thoughts, a little college football, a little NFL. We'll go all over the place with Todd Furman. He'll join us next right here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Keep it rolling here on a Sunday morning. Once again, some interesting news percolating all throughout the NBA world today. Malik Beasley currently being investigated for potential gambling allegations, and LeBron James has opted into his player option for $52.6 million. So plenty of news coming out this morning. And just a reminder, folks, if you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL Betting Guide will be your first real edge. It comes out on Tuesday, July 1st. So kick off your season with confidence. Get full access to everything VSiN has to offer, including our NFL Betting Guide and everything we have to offer all throughout the Super Bowl for $175. VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, let's head to our progressive guest line. Welcome in a friend of the show, Todd Furman, who joins us right now. Todd, I know you've been asked countless times this offseason, when's the next podcast coming out? Word on the street is that you and Mr. Payne Insider might be dusting off the microphones for a podcast this week. Can you confirm or deny these reports that are out there?
I can confirm that we will be back on the microphones tomorrow morning with an announcement, and that's about as much as I can share with the loyal Bet the Board listenership at this current juncture.
All right, there you go. That is a tease from Mr. Furman, so you will have to stay tuned for that coming up tomorrow. All right, let's talk a little NFL. You know, it was funny. I did a little exercise here because we're, you know, 10 Sundays away, Todd, from sitting our butts on a couch and watching a plethora of NFL, excuse me. And I was doing the exercise of Circus Survivor. You know, I was listening to a friend of mine think about possible regression candidates this year. And it was, you know, looking at Washington as a team that maybe takes a little bit of a step back. Did they overextend themselves, so to speak, last year? When you look at a team like Washington or anyone else, does anyone jump to your mind that you look at that maybe is due for a possible step back this year after exceeding expectations last year?
You mentioned the Commanders, and I think all of us have some real concerns about this team, not necessarily given the roster construction, because you like some of the moves they made. Having Jaden Daniels on a rookie contract gives them the opportunity to bolster positions of weakness. But you look at where this Washington Commanders team did most of its damage. It was on those high variance downs in third and fourth and short. And a lot of people will point to, hey, that's how the offense was designed to be able to get themselves into third and fourth down that were manageable with a mobile quarterback. You always worry about creating short fields when that inevitably comes to an end. Jaden Daniels now putting a full season's of work on tape. And while I won't say it's going to be as pronounced as some of the regression that we saw from C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans, there's no doubt it's a little bit different when you go from being the hunter to the hunted. And I actually think the NFC East from top to bottom will be significantly improved compared to what we saw last year. We've already seen money come in against the Commanders for their week one divisional game against the Giants. And I know, as you mentioned, 10 weeks away, but you'll start to hear a lot of buzz about divisional dogs week one, teams that missed the playoffs typically being undervalued. So you can understand why the Giants took some money, both at 7.5 and 7, that was widely available earlier this summer.
Yeah, and certainly something I discussed here on the show. Not only does Washington play on Christmas, if you were to be still alive in Circa Survivor or Survivor Pool come Christmas time, divisional dog, that would make me very uneasy there if you were to look at that particular spot week one if you were to join a Survivor Pool. Sticking with the NFC East, I remember last summer you and Payne on your previews were all in on fading the Cowboys as well as taking the Eagles to win that division. Both tickets ultimately cashed, so well done by you. Is this a buy low opportunity on the Dallas Cowboys, or do you still have some serious concerns for Mike McCarthy's bunch?
I think they'll be healthier, and I like some of the moves they made to bolster their offense, albeit I'm not quite sure what that backfield is going to do to create balance. Anyone who watched Javonte Williams last year, as a de facto number one in Denver, he looked more like a player carrying a piano on his back than the explosive burst that we'd grown accustomed to watching him be the explosive playmaker at North Carolina. But you look at the way Dallas is being priced at 5.5 to 1, and while I won't clamor for them to win the division, I'm not running to lay the buck 35 with a Philadelphia Eagles team that should check all the boxes you want on a young roster. Schedule looks to be a lot more difficult. And then the Commanders check in at a price tag right around plus 220. My biggest concern with the Cowboys, and what's kind of deterred me a little bit from trying to get involved with them in the macro level markets, whether it's reg season wins or some of the other pursuits that are out there, is the coaching situation. I think they took a substantial downgrade, and this is a Cowboys organization we know that loves to make knee-jerk reactions to a team that underachieved, but I think you kind of lose the adult in the room. And while Dak Prescott and company have said the right things, George Pickens should help make the offense a little bit more explosive. I have some real concerns about how little Schottenheimer will be able to do on the sidelines down there in Big D.
Todd Furman, CBS Sports HQ, Bet the Board podcast. As he mentioned, an announcement coming tomorrow, so make sure to check that out in your feeds. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You know, regression goes both ways, right? Both positively and negatively. So a team like San Francisco, a disastrous season, injuries, all of that, goes together. They don't win the division. They miss out on the playoffs. But because of that, the schedule ends up kind of working out in their favor. They do have the easiest schedule in the NFL if you base it off of projected win totals, Todd. It's not like you're getting the 49ers necessarily on sale, but maybe compared to recent years, you are. Do you have overarching concerns about the 49ers, or do you think this is a team to look at from a bounce-back standpoint?
You know, a little bit surprising when you see the dynamics in play in the betting markets for the NFC West. The Rams and 49ers, depending on your preferred sports books, more or less co-favorites to come out of that side. And we've seen the Rams take substantial money, I believe as high as 30-1 to win the Super Bowl earlier this offseason, and a lot of books now into the high teens. I'm not willing to buy Rams stock. I do think the 49ers are a little bit discounted. But when you go through that division from top to bottom, the team you mentioned regression candidates, the Seattle Seahawks, a team that we've already taken a small position against in the reg season win department, going under 8.5. with Sam Darnold, knowing that he's going to be playing behind an offensive line that's not going to look the same as what he was afforded in Minnesota last year, a downgrade in terms of offensive scheme as well. So I think the 49ers can benefit from that. But I think the other team in that division that people aren't talking enough about are the Arizona Cardinals. This was a group that fought tooth and nail last year to get to 8-9. Not the most talented roster, like some of the moves that they made in the draft, bolstering that defense with a couple names college football fans know well, with Will Johnson in the secondary, if he could heal up that knee, and of course, Walter Nolan along the defensive line. So it feels like a three-horse race there between the Rams, the 49ers, and Cardinals. But one thing I will say about the Niners, and I think if you want to look for a bet that creates a little bit of upside in the what we always strive for, an asymmetric risk, I think Kyle Shanahan for coach of the year. Normally you'd shy away from guys that have been to Super Bowls and have achieved some lofty heights, but if he's able to take this team from 6-11 where they finished last year, win the division by a game or two, I think Kyle Shanahan at a price tag right around 30-1 might be worth a little bit more than a nibble in the coach of the year market.
Todd Furman, CBS Sports HQ, and as mentioned, the Bet the Board podcast. Make sure to check that out wherever you get your podcasts. All right, you and I have been texting back and forth, just throwing out thoughts regarding college football and schedules and all of that. And, you know, I had a laugh earlier this week. We discussed it yesterday on the show, Todd, which is the Big 12 after last year said, you know what, we're going to do away with the preseason poll because it didn't work out all that well for us a year ago when the 16th team won the conference and 1, 3, 4, and 5 all missed out on bowl games. So when you look at the odds board, it expects to be another crazy year in the Big 12. Any teams piquing your interest in the most unpredictable P4 conference out there?
So I know this is going to be a bit troubling, not only for you, but our dear friend Brad Powers as well, who are heavily invested in Devin Dampier in the Heisman market.
We love him.
And have expectations that Utah bounces back. I'm not nearly as high on the Utes regaining some of the form that we've grown accustomed to. You watch some of the interviews with Kyle Whittingham throughout the course of the offseason. It just feels like this is a program that needs a change at the top. And Whittingham, in my opinion, felt a little bit like a lame duck head coach last year. We knew the carousel they had at the quarterback position. While Dampier can be extremely electric bringing over his offensive coordinator from New Mexico, that's a team that I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach on. Very curious how they look right out of the gates as a road favorite at UCLA. But a guy that I've been fond of as a head coach at multiple stops along the way, and I know this number has come down, look, I think you can take a lot worse shots than making a case that Willie Fritz will get this Houston team headed in the right direction. And while I'm not sure they get to the top of the heap right now in the Big 12, you know, you have an SEC transfer quarterback in Connor Wegman that should benefit immensely from the step down in class. It's a team that, while they weren't that talented last year, has upgraded its recruiting and were at least fighting tooth and nail down the stretch when it would have been easy to quit. So if Cinderella is able to emerge from this league again, I think Houston checks some of the boxes that you'd be looking for to make a case in the Big 12 if you want to avoid the Baylors, TCUs, Iowa States, Kansas States, and of course Utah at the top of the heap.
You and the Bear, Mr. Furman, are simpatico on a long shot out of the Big 12. Todd, always appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure. Enjoy those dog days of summer, Tim. I know vacation for you can't get here soon enough, my friend.
Yeah, you know, I'm not counting down to Monday night's flight on to the East Coast. I'm not doing that whatsoever. Hey, folks, just a reminder, if you're going to sign up for Circa Survivor, Circa Millions, the Westgate Super Contest, whatever it may be, you're going to need a proxy. Winner Circle Proxy. Make sure to check them out. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSIN, the preferred proxy service of VSIN. The show, it is the VSIN Weekend Morning Line. Ready, set, bet. Coming up top of the hour, Matt Brown and Mike Somich will continue to get you ready for a busy day across Major League Baseball. We've got Gold Cup action later on this evening in Minneapolis as USA men's national team around a minus 185 favorite against Costa Rica. I believe the number I saw around minus $4 to advance for the United States. And if they were to advance, more than likely going to take on Canada, who was interesting to note earlier in the show as we were breaking down today's program. Dax McCarty thought that Canada was actually the team to beat in the Gold Cup. It felt like they were playing pretty solid soccer right now. And worth noting, at least at DraftKings, Canada 4-1 to win the Gold Cup. So he thought that would be a epic showdown if we were to get it on Tuesday night, I believe, is when that game would be played if both the United States and Canada win later on today. Canada is in the afternoon, USA at night. USA taking on Costa Rica in that one. There is an injury I am trying to note here, as St. Louis and Cleveland are the first game up here today. St. Louis leading 3-0. So I will try to get you who the injury is. Looks like a pretty serious injury to a Cleveland Guardian, I believe. So I will see if we can get who that is right now. But I want to circle back real quickly to the story that has come out this morning from Shams Charania regarding Malik Beasley. Malik Beasley of the Detroit Pistons right now, I'm going to read from the article over at ESPN.com. The U.S. District Attorney's Office is investigating Detroit Pistons guard Malik Beasley on allegations of gambling related to NBA games and prop bets, sources told ESPN. The allegations are from the 2023-2024 season when Beasley was on the Bucks, according to sources. Beasley that year averaged 11.3 points per game in 79 games and made a career high 77 starts. This is from Malik Beasley's attorney. Quote, an investigation is not a charge. Malik is afforded the same right of the presumption of innocence as anyone else under the U.S. Constitution. As of now, he has not been charged with anything. So that is where we sit right now. This has popped up. David Purdom over at ESPN also noted that, quote, at least one prominent U.S. sportsbook noticed unusual betting patterns on Malik Beasley prop bets beginning in January of 2004. All right, quick update from the Guardians game. Thanks to producer Wando. Gabriel Arias appears to have seriously injured his left ankle while trying to slide and stop a single. So that is where we sit right now, the injury there to the Cleveland Guardians shortstop. All right, speaking of baseball, busy day, of course, across Major League Baseball today, and a couple of trends we're keeping an eye on. Thomas Gable let us know that at the Borgata, yes, indeed, they are betting the under for these Yankee games. They have caught on to it. So will we get our 17th straight under in Yankees and A's? That is where we sit right now. 10.5 juiced over on that one. So we've actually seen, believe it or not, some over money come in with Severino versus Stroman today at Yankee Stadium. It has been a consistent under for the New York Yankees. The bats have been struggling there for the Yankees, as right now, you know, last week we had Cody Decker on the show last Saturday, and he said, be wary of the Tampa Bay Rays. And well, lo and behold, the Tampa Bay Rays only a half game back of the New York Yankees right now, as the Yankees have been scuffling a little bit. We talked to Adnan Virk briefly about this earlier in the show as well. But I did want to check out, I'm curious, as you head over to VSiN.com and check out our betting splits, which you can get as a VSiN Pro subscriber, what are the bettors doing with this total, knowing that it has hit in so many consecutive games? If you look at the betting splits right now, 53% of bets on the under. However, it is worth noting that the over is seeing more handle come in. So right now at DraftKings, 53% of bets on under 10.5, but 69% of the handle on the over. Is this when we finally see the run come to a close? It does feel like some over money is hitting the market on A's and Yankees here. So we'll keep our eye on that one later on this afternoon at Yankee Stadium. Also, we get Tarik Skubal on the hill tonight. Over under on his strikeouts is 7.5. Skubal around -135 to win AL Cy Young. And tonight, the Tigers getting a whole lot of love on the betting market. 89% of bets on the Tigers, as they are a massive favorite against the Minnesota Twins here this evening. It is the Sunday night baseball game. Taking a look at where we are for a first five total in that one because of Scooble being on the hill. You're looking at an over-under of 3.5. Now, always be worried there as you've got Chris Paddock on the hill for the Minnesota Twins, and he enters this contest with an ERA at 4.64. Paddock, last couple of times out, have been rough. 4 runs against the Mariners, 4 runs against the Reds, and then 3 starts ago, he got absolutely shelled, gave up 8 runs against the Houston Astros in just 4 innings of work. So Chris Paddock had a nice stretch there going in the month of May, had an ERA of 2.4, and then a first couple of starts in June weren't so bad, but his last 3 starts, Chris Paddock has been roughed up quite a bit, and that's why we see such a big number there on the Detroit Tigers. They are the biggest favorite on the board today. The Tigers are at around -$3 against the Minnesota Twins as, once again, Scooble takes the hill there for the Detroit Tigers. So, busy day of Major League Baseball ahead as we also see the Atlanta Braves around a what are we looking at for the Braves? -160 as you've got Strider back on the hill for the Atlanta Braves as Atlanta, once again, a team that I think has confused many of us about what they are ultimately going to be this year. And as you see, if you're watching with us, sitting at 38-44 on the year are the Atlanta Braves. And when you, at times when you think, all right, here they come, this is going to be their run, they're going to make a charge to the playoffs, and then they, you know, drop 3 in a row and they lose 13-0 on Friday night as a favorite against the Philadelphia Phillies. So we'll see what the Braves have in store today. They did win yesterday 6-4 as Spencer Schwellenbach was on the hill, and he was great. He struck out 12 in the Braves' victory just a game ago. So we'll see if it is contagious there as Spencer Strider, this is just his 9th start of the season. Of course, he's been dealing with injuries this year. Last time out, he was pretty good. It was picked up 8 strikeouts against the Mets, went 5 innings, 3 runs on 2 hits. But he has his last couple of starts have been much better here for Spencer Strider. How about strikeout-wise? 13-8-8 over his last 3 starts there for Spencer Strider, including that 6 scoreless innings against the Colorado Rockies back on June 14th when he had a season-high 13 strikeouts in that performance. So right now, as we look at the strikeout props across Major League Baseball today, Spencer Strider, is he one that keeps this going? Spencer Strider, over-under is 7.5, -105 to the over. He has gone over, but that's a big number for a strikeout prop. He's gone over that 7.5 in his last 3 starts, 8-8-13, his last 3 times out as the Braves take on the Philadelphia Phillies today. All right, a couple of best bets that we've thrown out over the weekend. We've got Trey Johnson to win NBA Rookie of the Year. Right now, that's at 10-1. A couple of win totals that we threw out on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We're going to go over Nebraska, 7.5 wins, under Wisconsin, 5.5 wins. So a couple of those. Great stuff from Zach Cohen earlier today on the show, taking a look at Wimbledon. I think I'm going to have to go in on Madison Keys. Both he and Drew Dinsick thinking similarly, and I believe Danny Kluppinger was on with the Ready Set Bet fellas from Tennis Channel as well, and I saw that come in to the VSiN picks page as well. So Madison Keys seems to be the long shot to give a look at there for Wimbledon, and Iga Swiatek also around 8-1, both from Drew and Zach Cohen as Wimbledon gets going tomorrow. All right, that's going to do it for the show. It's been a busy show. Thanks to all of you who joined us. And once again, the VSiN Weekend Morning Line every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll be back tomorrow night for VSiN Primetime starting at 7 p.m. Eastern as we run through a Major League Baseball slate. It'll be me and Will Hill. But appreciate the guests who joined the show. Dax McCarty helping us preview USA and Costa Rica later today in Minneapolis in the quarterfinals of the Gold Cup. A little baseball with Adnan Virk, basketball and tennis with Zach Cohen, the latest from behind the counter with Thomas Gable, and of course Todd Furman just a moment ago. Coming up next is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich as they get you ready for a full slate of baseball action. Also, will Eldrick Potgieter win his first career PGA get his first career PGA win. Live Bet Sunday got you later today as well. I'm Tim Murray. This has been the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.